Welcome back to our NLC weekly podcast, where we are encouraged from the word of God that's preached in our services every Sunday morning. Here is this week's message.
You ready for the word? We're going to read together Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 and 3 from the New English Translation of the Scriptures. Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 and 3 from the New English Translation. Let's go. In the future, the mountains of the Lord's temple will endure as the most important of mountains and will be the most prominent of hills. All the nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the Lord's mountain, to the temple of the God of Jacob, so he can teach us his requirements and so we can follow his standards. For Zion will be the center for moral instruction. The Lord will issue edicts from Jerusalem." Let's read that last paragraph together. "For Zion will be the center for moral instruction. The Lord will issue edicts from Jerusalem." Father, thank you for your word right now, that living word. Make that rich deposit, I pray, into our hearts. As we are standing before you, our hearts are open. We're hungry today. Feed us from your word. Let that word have its effectual workings in our lives and dealings in our lives. And we thank you today. Receive all praise from our hearts. And thank you for what you're doing on the inside of us. Thank you for what you're doing among us. And we give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. The words we just read together, Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, the prophet is prophesying, or he's referring to the millennium. These verses, the prophet Isaiah is referring to the millennium, to Christ 1,000-year reign on the earth. And you will notice he begins, as we read together, he begins by saying, in the future, the mountain of the Lord's temple will endure as the most important of mountains. He says, in the future, all the nations will stream to it. In the future, many peoples will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the Lord's mountain, to the temple of the God of Jacob. In the future, let us go up so he can teach us his requirements and we can follow his standards. For Zion will be the center for moral instruction. The Lord will issue edicts from Jerusalem." Isaiah is looking hundreds and hundreds of years beyond his own lifetime. In fact, we know that Isaiah lived and prophesied 700 years before Christ. But here in his second chapter, the second chapter of his book, the book of Isaiah, he is looking hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years way past his own lifetime. And he's prophesying concerning the future. And he's focusing particularly on the millennium, the 1,000-year reign of Christ on the earth. He's pointing to the end of history. And he's declaring that the mountain of the Lord will stand. Now listen, before Jesus was even born, hundreds of years before, Isaiah already saw how the story would end. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. The scripture teaches us that, or Jesus himself said, the Holy Spirit he will receive of mine and he will show it unto you. He will reveal unto you, and he will show you the things to come. And that statement should encourage us. Before Jesus was even born, Isaiah saw how the story would end. And you should be encouraged by that. Notice what survives history. Not every empire, not every kingdom, not every government, not every movement. But what survives is the temple. What survives is God's house. At that time, the nations will be attracted to Jerusalem and to God's house, the church. So we take great courage today. It's awesome. The church makes it. The church is strong and alive, and we see nations streaming to the church at the end of time. Take courage today. Draw strength from that today. At that time, nations will be attracted. I love that word. Nations will be attracted to Jerusalem and to God's house, the church. And the attraction will center around the law of the Lord, or the ways of the Lord, the word of the Lord, the truth of God's word. There will be a hunger. There will be a great desire for the truth of God's word. At the end of the age, the church. Everybody shout the church. Do you know you're part of this church we're speaking of? If you love Jesus, if you've been born again, if your name is written in the book of life, you're part of the church. And at the end of the age, the church, through all it has encountered from generation to generation, has remained fixed. It's there. Isaiah saw hundreds of years past his time, looking into the millennium, the thousand-year rule and reign of Christ on the earth. And there he saw nations streaming to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple, to God's house. And all that the church encountered from generation to generation, we see it remaining fixed. It is still the center from which God's rule and truth and authority are proclaimed. All the changes that the church has gone through, all the persecution it has endured, all the opposition it has faced, and yet at the very end of history, it is still standing as the center of God's presence. It is still standing as the center of moral instruction. Amen. It has remained fixed. The church has survived emperors. The church has survived persecutions. The church has survived wars and plagues, revolutions. The church has survived false teachings, division. The church has survived every prediction of its demise. Why? Because the church is still standing. Because the one upon whom it stands is still standing. Therefore, our future is secure because we stand upon the solid rock. Amen. Christ Jesus. Upon the cornerstone. I want to speak to you today on staying fixed for the future. Staying fixed for the future. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he not spoken? Will he not make it good? He's faithful to his word. And as we continue to follow in his word and follow and live in obedience to him, our future is secure and we can stay fixed upon that rock, upon that word. I want to take us back to the time of Abraham, from whom all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And I want you to see this. I want you to see in Isaiah, look at the picture of Isaiah. hundreds and hundreds of years way ahead of his time, he's speaking of nations streaming to the mountain of God, nations streaming to the house of God. Now I want to go back to the time of Abraham, from whom all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Come on, as we set our hearts on this mission Sunday, our hearts are focusing on nations. And look at this. It says in Genesis chapter 11, verses 31 and 32, Terah, this is Genesis 11, 31, 32, New English translation, Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, his son Abram's wife, and with them he set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. When they came to Haran, they settled there. The lifetime of Terah was 205 years, and he died in Haran. This is the first mention of Abram in Scripture in the Old Testament. Abram, the father of faith, is the most central figure of the Old Testament, through whom God established the covenant that all nations of the earth would find blessing through his lineage. Now, keep that word in mind. He's central. Abraham is central. He's a central figure, the most central figure in the Old Testament, through whom God established that the nations of the earth would find blessing. God established that covenant with him, that through his seed, through his lineage, the nations of the earth would be blessed. Abraham is right at the center of God's redemptive story. Three world religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, they all venerate Abraham. He is such a central figure. He is mentioned in 16 books of the Old Testament and 11 books of the New Testament. Abraham's name means father of a multitude. Father of a multitude. Father of nations. Father of a multitude. Now remember what Isaiah saw. What did Isaiah see? He saw all nations. He said they were streaming to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God, to God's temple. A multitude streaming to the mountain of God. Abraham becomes the head of the Hebrew nation. And the remainder of the Old Testament is largely the story of this nation. The story of this nation that would come forth from Abraham. But how does it all begin? We've seen the end picture. We see the nation streaming to the house of God. We see the church fixed. We see the church steady. Now we go back and we see God making covenant with Abraham, who would be the father of faith. He would be the father of multitudes. And so this is so powerful, because from the beginning right through to the very end of history, the church has remained fixed. The people of God have remained fixed all through what they've encountered, all that's come against them, all that has been designed to destroy them. Yet they held their course. And here we are today. We're part of that number. We're part of that great church. Amen. And we are determined to stay fixed for our future, to stay fixed and to stay firm no matter what comes to us. Regardless of what we have to deal with, we are holding our course. We are steady. We are faithful in God's house. So hear it. We see it happening with Abraham all the way through to the millennium, all the way through to the end of the age. But how does it all begin? How does it all begin? It begins with change. It begins with change. It begins with transition. Terah took his son Abram. We just read this from Genesis 11. He took his grandson Lot, his daughter-in-law Sarah, Abram's wife, and with them he set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. It begins with transition. It begins with change. And I'm going to talk a little bit about change today, because change is something that we all encounter. And change can so often impact us to where we somehow find our foothold is not as, it doesn't seem to be as firm. It doesn't seem to be as settled. So follow with me. It begins with change. It begins with transition. This scripture reveals that Terah, Abram's father, left Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan, but he did not make it to Canaan. He settled in Haran instead. This was about halfway the journey. He did not go to Canaan. He got to Haran. He set out for Canaan, but he got to Haran and he settled there. Why did he stop halfway? It could have been his health. We don't know. It could have been the climate. It could have been fear. It could have very well been fear. When you read about the Canaanitish people, giants in the land of Canaan, when you read about all of the Canaanitish peoples and their armies, it could have been fear. It could have been discouragement. Why did Terah stop halfway in Haran? We're not told. But interestingly, the name Haran, it means parched or dry. It means a parched place or dry place. Terah stopped in a place of dryness. He stopped in a place of dryness. He's uprooted his entire family. He's left the Ur of the Chaldeans. He's left his home. And he's traveling to Canaan. We know Canaan is the promised land. He's traveling to Canaan. But he ends up in a dry place. He ends up in a parched place. But this, listen, just because his father landed in a dry place, it did not change Abram's calling. It had no change, no impact on Abram's calling. When Abram honored his father's leadership, when Terah died, while Abraham honored his father's leadership, when Terah died, Abram moved on to Canaan. Terah stopped, Abram didn't. Abram went on to Canaan. He waited for his father's death in honor of his father, but this did not change Abram's calling. Abram moved on to Canaan. Someone else's stopping point does not have to become your final destination. Let me repeat that. Someone else's stopping point does not have to become your final destination. There's still places for you to go. There's still things for you to do. God's hand is upon you for good. Amen. And whoever goes with you, remember the old song, if none go with me, still I will follow. It doesn't matter. It in honor of his father, he dwelt in Haran, but upon the death of his father, he continued. And the point is, Someone else's stopping point does not have to become your final destination. Just because the previous generation could not finish the journey does not mean the next generation cannot. Many times God's will comes to us in stages. We need to learn this. God's will comes to us in stages. Just as Haran became a transition season for Abram, God often brings our lives into seasons of transition, of change. And if we will patiently obey Him during the transition, we will be prepared for the greater assignment that lies ahead of us. God is simply readying us for the greater. But if we will be sensitive, if we will be obedient, if we will walk diligently and carefully through this time, through this season of transition, through this change that comes, and even though it may feel sometimes a bit uncomfortable, if we will just continue to hold our course and stay our ground, come on, greater things lie ahead for you. Now listen, don't confuse a transition with a destination. Haran was a season. Canaan was the promise. Oh, this is good. Don't confuse a transition with a destination. Haran was a season. Canaan was the promise. We're getting to Canaan. We're going to make it to Canaan. Regardless of the season that we're going through right now, come on, we're getting there. In the name of Jesus, we're making progress in the process. We're moving forward in Jesus' name and coming into a place of fullness in the name of the Lord. You see, we live in an ever-changing world. Seasons change. Governments change. Circumstances change. Relationships change. Health changes. The future always includes change. And the reality is that it is impossible to experience the new thing without experiencing change. Change is inherent in following Jesus. Change is inherent. When you become part of the kingdom, the family of God, change just comes with it. It's just part. We are ever being changed. We're ever being conformed into His likeness. We're always in transition. We're always moving from one glory to the next. God is working on us and bringing us into a greater level, into a greater level. And many times when you go to a greater level, there are bigger devils. But I'm telling you right now, greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Amen. And that we're moving forward. Hallelujah. We're moving forward. Change is one of the most integral parts of following God. It's both exciting and also unsettling. It stretches us. It humbles us. It reminds us how little we actually control. We think we're in control until change comes. And then it suddenly we realize we're not in control as we thought. So change, just one of the most integral parts in following and serving God. You have to be pliable. You have to be flexible. You have to be teachable. Change is exciting. It can be unsettling. Change stretches us. Change humbles us. And it reminds us how little that we actually control. In fact, the most settled life is not immune to change. All of us, every one of us, we're all subject to seasons. Ecclesiastes 3:1 reminds us, for everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. There is a season and a time for every matter, not for a few matters, but for every matter under heaven. Can I submit to you that this book we love, that we read, that we pour ourselves into, this book that we seek to follow each and every day, this book that we open its pages and we ask the Holy Spirit to take its words and to impart them into our lives and to conform us and shape us in accordance to this standard. May I submit to you that the Bible is a book, largely a book of transitions. This book, when you open its pages, from chapters to chapters, you will find it's a book of transitions. People move, kingdoms rise and fall, leaders come and go, generations pass. Yet right in the middle of all those transitions comes one of the greatest declarations in Scripture that is found in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, which says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Aren't you glad he doesn't change? Every one of us change. Everything around us changes, but Jesus Christ, the head of the church, come on, the rock of our salvation, he never changes. Aren't you blessed that this morning when you woke up, Jesus told you, I've changed my attitude about you. You know, I really loved you yesterday, but today I've got some issues that's really affected me towards you. I don't quite love you to the degree that I loved you yesterday. Could you ever imagine hearing those kinds of words from Jesus? You will never. You will never. His love continues in the good times and the bad times. His love continues to pour towards you. Amen. Hebrews does not promise that your circumstances will never change. It promises that your Savior never will. Is that powerful or what? Hebrews does not promise that your circumstances will never change. It promises that your Savior never will. So write this down. Number one, to stay fixed, firmly fixed for our future. Number one, we can stay fixed for the future because Jesus is constant. We can stay fixed for the future because Jesus is constant. Christ, he is the only constant, and we can stay fixed for the future because Jesus is constant. Christ is the only constant. Past, present, future. He's the only constant in our past, in our present, in our future. His character never changes. His faithfulness never changes. Come on, his mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. His presence never changes. Come on, he doesn't abandon you. His grace never changes. Everything around us may shift, but the center never moves. Jesus be the center of your church. Jesus be the center of it all. Everything around you and me may shift, but Jesus is the center. The center never moves. The safest place in a changing world is not a place without change. It's a life with an unchanging center. The safest place in the world, a changing world, is not a place without change. It's a life with an unchanging center. If Jesus is the center, then change simply becomes movement around the center, not movement away from it. Jesus is the center. If he's the center, then movement, that change that becomes movement, it's not away from it, but it's simply movement around the center, not movement away from it. This is how we stay fixed for the future, by staying fixed in Jesus. Keeping our eyes on Jesus, listening for his word, holding him as the center of our affections, allowing no one else or nothing else to come to in between. He is the center of it all. Amen. He is the center. When all around us shifting sand. On Christ, the solid rock, we stand. Civilizations rise, empires rise, economies fluctuate, cultures redefine themselves, but the kingdom of God keeps advancing. God's people have never been called to predict the future. We have been called to remain faithful in it. And we will do so in Jesus' name. The future belongs to people who know where to stand, who hold their course, who stay center line, keeping their eyes upon Jesus, the center, regardless of the changes that you're dealing with, regardless of the transitions that come, regardless of what tomorrow brings. God's people will stay the course because Jesus, the center of our life, our purpose, our mission, our hope, and our future, He is unmoved. Thank you, Father. I want to repeat that. God's people will stay the course. I decree over your life today, you're staying the course. Amen. Whatever shifting sand, whatever situation that you're dealing with right now, you stay the course. Because Jesus, the center of it all, the center of our life, our purpose, our mission, our hope, and our future is unmoved. Can we celebrate the fact that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that we, His people, are holding our course, keeping our eyes upon Him. Amen. Our future is secure as He remains the center of it all. Come on, give Him the praise and give Him the glory and give Him the honor today. I want to pray for those that are, you're in change right now, or your situations are such that, as I was ministering this word earlier, I just sensed in my heart there's like a shifting, and you're going through some things that are challenging you right now. And you needed this word today. You needed to see that at the end of the age, nations are streaming, that the church is well, that Jesus, the head, is at the center. Nations are streaming to Him. Nations are coming to Him, that you are part of a church that's firmly fixed for the future. And yet right now you're dealing with issues, or you need answers, or you need some stability. You need the Holy Spirit to come and just take a moment, open some understanding to you. I want you to lift your hands right now through the congregation, because I want to agree with you. Yes, all over this room. Father, we look to you. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. Holy Spirit, in every situation, you know every one of them, every heart that is raised to you right now. I pray by the Spirit of God, the presence of God, that you would come. And Lord, you would minister to every family, every individual, every situation. Right now, I call for strength. I call for wisdom. I call for insight and understanding. Lord, as we continue to see ourselves prepared and ready for change, Lord, as we set ourselves ready to embrace change and transition, ready to move into all that you have designed for our lives, in those moments, Lord, in those moments where we can feel some, perhaps a little shift, a little shifting sand, Lord, we just remember this word today. You're at the center of it all. And everything that moves, Lord, it moves away from, that we may continue to stay focused and firm in our salvation and in our following of you. I pray in the name of Jesus that you do this for us. I thank you for strength today. I thank you for health today. I thank you for healing even right now. healing of bodies today. Lord, in the name of Jesus, come by your power and do supernatural works. And we give you the glory. We stay fixed. We stay firm, O God, as we move forward into our future. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We celebrate his goodness today. Come on, guys. We celebrate his faithfulness today. He's meeting you right where you are. I believe answers are coming by the Holy Spirit. Come on, everybody. Stay fixed this week. Stay firm this week. Have an incredible week, everybody.
Thank you for listening. If you're looking for a church community to be a part of, or would like to learn more about following Jesus, we would love to hear from you. You can find us at NLC Official on social media or WhatsApp on 0720-652-652. Join us next week for another message. Until then, God bless you.